This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Yield up to temptation, oh my love, while I'm away. Don't you know you gotta be strong, leave all the other guys alone. One bright sunny day, I'll be back for home to stay.
Yield not
to temptation, and let no one lead you astray.
So many times,
you're gonna be lonely. So many times, you're gonna be blue. But yield not. Strong, leave all the other guys alone. One bright sunny day, I'll be back for home to stay.
Yield not
to temptation.
Carol Cox Show, right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Got a loud microphone here. Anyway, thank you for joining me. And this morning, for the first hour, I have Mr. Michael Galoyu, Jr. And he is running for the State House of Representatives, District 42. Amongst that group of people that are running is Nicole Ferguson, Mark Moses, who's Republican, and Sharon Haar, who is currently the state representative. And so that we'll know in fairness, we reached out to Ms. Haar, we sent an email, we attempted to call, and we wasn't worthy of even an acknowledgement that they received our email. But nonetheless, in the spirit of being fair or striking a balance, and if you are listening from some bunker, Ms. Haar or whoever, please give me a call, 524-1080, you're welcome to call, or 782-6627 in the future if you want to have equal access and time. So we're not slighting you, but it would be nice if you would just be responsive and courteous enough to acknowledge the Carol Cox Show sent a request to you. So, anyway, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Galoyu. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. And yourself?
Good. I was on my way driving here. I've known you for many years now, and I watch you and and your participation in the community and many issues, and we'll talk about them. You need your head examined, do you?
I definitely do. I sure do. I took a leave of absence to run for office. I'm taking a pay cut when I'm elected. I'm losing a wonderful view, but I'm doing it for my community, and that's been my mantra for the last 15 years of community service, direct community service in the last 15 years, 30 years of experience within my community here out of Makakilo. But I saw a need, and I knew I had to step up to the plate to make sure that our voice and the needs of my community were being met, because it's not happening right now. So, yeah, so.
Well, just jokingly, I think that, you know, we tend to poke fun at lawyers, politicians, and clowns, but we don't get much business with clowns because they're already funny. But the thing is, as I watch this district over here, each election, that's some really good candidates that come out, but especially there was Capoluto, Lito, what's her name, Marissa. Yeah. She ran against Sharon Haar. And Mark Moses now is running for state rep, but he was once a
His wife is running. Mark is supposedly retired from politics.
Well, that's funny. On the one of the websites of Vote Smart or something, identified him as being... with the picture and yourself and Carol Ferguson. So, Sook Moses.
Yes, it's Sook Moses, yeah.
Boy, you see, you can't trust anything with the Internet.
No.
Except for the Carol Cox Show.
Exactly, there you go.
But anyway, yeah. So, just looking at some of the things, in 2012, she being Sharon Haar, got 73.5% of the votes, opposed to... Capoluto's 26%. So I toss that out there to say, here's a time to see what it is that you're going to offer to the people on this one, and that's going to change that. What do you say?
What I offer is somebody that knows the issues. I grew up in the district. I'm the first person actually to ever that has alumni of Makalani Elementary School. That actually grew up in the district, that's going to, when elected, I'll be the first person from our community to serve our community at the legislature. I bring with me the 33 years of experience, my community involvement, my accessibility. If you can't get a hold of me in person, I have my Facebook page, I have my cell phone on everything that I put in for my political material that's out there has my personal cell phone on it, so you can get a hold of me. And I may not be able to answer your question right away, but if I don't have the answer, I will find it and I'll get back to you, or let you know I don't know the answer and put you in the right direction. And the reason I'm able to do that is because of all the things I have done over the last 33 years. And because I bring a depth and breadth of knowledge of the state government, from working within the state government, from working at the Capitol as a volunteer, and I have a track record of getting things done. People tell me you can't do it, and then we go ahead and we get it done. And I know people are thinking, when they hear my name and they hear about me, they only think of one thing, and that's the marriage equality issue. But there's so much more to me and so much more to my campaign. I was an advocate for the rail project. I was an advocate for the skateboard park. If you had a high school kid that's graduated from Kapolei High School in the last 10-15 years, I've been there and I've helped raise money for the sports programs, for the band, through my different community outreach and my volunteer service with Uau o Kapolei, Friends of Kapolei Hale. And so it is, I bring the willingness to work and willingness to serve and the willingness to talk. And I think I'm a very approachable person. We're not necessarily always going to agree on every issue, but the ability that we can have a conversation and maybe agree to disagree on certain things, but on the bigger issues, about making sure our students are educated, that they have the tools and the resources that they deserve. And so I think those are the issues that are bothering and that my community has been lacking. Our roads, that's a big issue for me, infrastructure.
Now, what I've watched you over the years, and most people will connect you with the gay rights issues, same-sex marriage issues, and I underscore the term issues. I personally have learned through hard knocks is that these are civil rights issues. You know, whether the listeners out there agree or don't agree, when people are being told what you can't do in your private lives as human beings, that becomes a civil rights issue to me. So I observe you in HB 444 and the others, and I just wished I could see in this state, in this Democratic Party or Democrat Party, the same willingness and the aggressiveness and commitment that you have. Because even looking at her, and I hope that she hear this, and I hope that she calls, and I'll give her a fair access or time. But I've watched her. She's, one, has removed herself. She's enamored with being a lawyer, if you look at her records. And there's some questions that I have. She was on the committee of land use and what have you. But there's some things that may be conflict in her activities. But we are unable to speak with her because when we have attempted to in the past, we don't rise to the level or that we would be as just citizens or as media or as an inquiry to respond. So what I've observed is that if someone had an issue, if there were other civil rights issues, and you're apparently clearly not a one-horse man or one issue, because they'll eat you up, because the first day when you win, if you win, the first day that'll be determined, you'll collapse, because that's the voters demand and the needs are out there. It's a reality. So I look at you and think, I got to get you on to find out and let the listeners hear. And it's a contentious issue. While in my personal opinion, it should not be on same-sex marriage. And what about your opponent, both Nicole Ferguson and Sharon Haar? What were their stance? I mean, we know what Haar, she, if you could tell us, what did she do? How did she behave in the same-sex issue, for example?
She did not behave as a legislator should have. She made sure that she made herself unaccessible. And because as her constituent, I reached out to her. I called her. I emailed her. And again, like you experienced with your show, she refused to, she didn't respond to anything. And so when I saw her at the Capitol during the special session, I ran into her out in the hallway. I approached her. She was having a conversation. I waited until she was done. And I let her know that she did not represent me, my family, or the majority of the people that I know from my district when it comes to the issue of marriage equality. And she basically, in the middle of my letting her know this, she started parroting, I know that, Michael, and then she turns and walks away from me. And I thought that was rather rude, so I followed her, keeping a respectable distance. And she then changed her tone to, because then I informed her that she didn't really understand the Constitution or the law as... And then she goes, yes, I do. And then she changed her whole thing to, yes, I do, parody. And I'm like, this is how an adult responds to a constituent?
Yeah.
This is not how you respond as a legislator. You became a public servant. And you should hold yourself to a higher standard. And at least be able to engage with me with a modicum of decorum, especially at the state capitol. And she then walked into the House chamber area where I stopped at the door, and I let her know in a firm voice that justice would prevail. And justice did prevail, as it has in the last 32 court decisions that we've seen across this nation when it comes to the issue of marriage equality. She was wrong during the special session when she said our courts were going to be flooded with lawsuits if they passed this bill. She was wrong then, and she is wrong now.
Flooded with lawsuits.
That's what she said.
Wishful thinking.
I guess that's what she wanted as a lawyer.
Yeah.
She was hoping that she thought that this issue, this marriage equality has not harmed one person in this state by it passing. No priest, rabbi, any person of cloth has been forced to do a marriage that they don't agree with, and they never will, because that's why we have the separation of state and church.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that then she said that the special session was too expensive. We couldn't afford it. We paid for the special session in the marriage fees alone in the month of December.
Right.
And she has not yet to even acknowledge that fact.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you. There's going to be issues on ADA. There's going to be issues as a state representative, civil rights laws. Now, I mentioned being one track. What assurances can you give the public that you will, with the same vigor and the same strength and veracity, will you deal with these same issues, whether it's women in the workplace, racism, or whatever? Can we be assured? Or is this the one game man, Mike?
Absolutely not. I'm not a one game man. You can, and Planned Parenthood of Hawaii Action Network has shown that by endorsing me and only me in this race. I believe that equal pay for equal work. I support a living wage. The focus has been on marriage equality, but there are so many other issues that I am involved in. That's why I volunteer with the Aloha United Way on their Safety Network Council, mm-hmm. making sure that the monies that they raise gets to the different nonprofits that help with the homeless issue to make sure people and domestic violence. And there are the myriad of issues that lead to homelessness, mm-hmm. and to protect our most vulnerable in our society, be it our keiki at our school levels or, again, like I said, domestic violence, that there are these different issues. And income inequality is one of the other one of the things I want to champion.
Now, because this is a whole new ball game, you're stepping into the big leagues now, not the neighborhood board, which is a part of the machine. But this is where you are going to be able to sit there and render an opinion or render a vote. Mm-hmm. What safeguards is the public assured that you, Michael Galoyu, will not be receiving a phone call from the party and saying, "Welcome to the party, brah. Now, if you want some money, and we'll fund everything you want, but this is what we need from you." What measures and what discipline are you going to make sure and assure your voters out there and your constituents, if you were to win, that you wouldn't succumb to that?
Well, I think my voice is my bond, and what I say I will do. There was a lot of pressure put on me, put to bear on me last year when the caucus filed charges against those 12 Democrats that decided to go against our party platform, go against our party, and submitted the bills to call for a constitutional amendment banning marriage equality here in this Aloha state. And we, as chair, I had to lead the charge on that. And there was a lot of pressure brought to bear on me to not even to pull them, to not take them to the full hearing. And I have shown over the years that I am willing to make those tough stands to make sure that my community gets what it deserves and gets what it needs. Mm-hmm. And it's just not happening right now with Sharon. She just has made it. She has made it absolutely being our representative her last priority. Mm-hmm. She has a horrible attendance record when it comes to hearings. She loves to hear her own voice on the floor, but she's not there when she needs to be there when it comes to the hearings, because that's when the people have their access to the legislators, mm-hmm. and be able to make sure their voice is being heard. And she does, so she goes there and she may make a floor vote, but she's not in the hearings to make the hearing vote there. Mm-hmm. So she's making an uninformed decision when she goes down there to vote. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know what her constituent wants, and she doesn't listen to us. So that's one of the main reasons I'm running.
Now, and jumping back a bit, the HB 444, now, I noticed that she was partnering, partnering with McDermott. Was she on the same plank or platform as McDermott in opposing the same-sex marriage and all of that? Was she?
SB1, it looked like they were working in concert between her and Foley and McDermott. It was one of the most bizarre things I've seen in a long time. Somebody who claims to be a Democrat working in concert with Republicans, and this isn't the first time she's done it. She did this when it came to HB 411, and that was emergency contraception in the ER. And that's where she fought against women being able to have medically accurate information brought to them in their most dire of need. After a woman's been raped, she did not think it was required that women would know about their right to emergency contraception. And I'm like, how can you, as a woman, do this to your fellow woman to make sure that they don't have all the medically accurate, scientifically based, medically accurate information? And And so I was just flabbergasted to see her do that.
Was she one of the 12 in the Democratic caucus, or that the complaint was filed?
Yes, she was. And it was rather telling that she said that she wasn't prepared for when the complaint was supposed to go before the Oahu County, and she wasn't prepared. As a lawyer, she couldn't get her act together in 6 months from the date that it was filed to the hearing date brought before. And so she asked for a continuance, and she got it. But the funny thing we found out that at that hearing is that Mike Gabbert threw her under the bus, saying she was the author of the constitutional amendment. She was the force behind it. She was the one going around gathering signatures on the House side, and she's the one that approached him and asked him to introduce it in the Senate. And so, I'm just blown away by that. As someone who says that she's a member of the Democratic Party, and it's in our, not just our local platform of the state of Hawaii, but our national platform. Mm-hmm. And I know I've said this before to other people, but when she came into office 8 years ago, she said that she supported a woman's right to choose. She told us that she supported civil rights, and she supported at that point civil unions 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. She got into office. A year later, she does a 180. Mm-hmm. And she spent the last 8 years proving us wrong, mm-hmm. for supporting her 8 years ago. And so people think I'm running just because of her vote during the special session. If I was going to do that, I would have ran 4 years ago when she stabbed us in the back, not once, not twice, but like 9 different times.
When you say stabbed in the back, are you meaning the total population of voters or the gay community?
Those of us who stepped up, that believed in civil rights out of Makahiki, not just the LGBT community out there, but the people, all of my supporters that are supporting me now in my run, mm-hmm. that came forward. And because I had said I'd never run, and then when I looked at her attendance record, I'm like, somebody has to be that's willing to make Makahiki and Kapolei their number one priority. And people are like, oh, you're just saying what you want people to hear. I go, no, you don't have to take my word for it. Go to OahuMPO.org. That's Oahu Metropolitan Planning Organization. They're the ones that decide which roads get built, which roads are fixed. Mm-hmm. She sits on there. She sits on the policy committee of all these, one of the most powerful policy committees when it comes to roads in the state. And she sits on that committee, and she has been absent more than 50% of the time. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that is unacceptable. As somebody who she's derelict in her duty, and that is why I'm running. Because of Fort Barrett Road is a prime example. It was set to be widened and straightened starting this year. Because of her inattention to that and not being there to advocate for our community, that road is now, we're lucky if that will even come up until 2016. Mm-hmm. And that's unacceptable.
This is the Carol Cox Show. You're listening to me discuss with Michael Galoyu, candidate for District 42 of State House of Representatives. And you might hear a number of occasions we mentioned Sharon Haar and the Miss Nicole Ferguson. They're his opponents, and as well as Souk Moses. I've been corrected. I'm based on what is presented. But 524-1080 is the number. And I want to be fair, and if Ms. Haar, she didn't respond to any email that we sent requesting or inviting her to participate or give comment. So anyway, you can pick us up at carol@carolcox.com, and this will be podcast later, and you can go to KWAI 1080 AM if you're having bad reception on the radio, because Michael and I will be talking. So 524-1080 if you have questions for Michael. Now, what specific districts are you covering? This district you're running for?
I cover Makahiki, half of Makahiki, and all of Kapolei. Mm-hmm. And that's if you're looking at Makahiki on the left-hand side, the right-hand side of the road is District 39 covered, and then on the other side of the road is District 42, which is the one I'm running for. Mm-hmm. And just the Kapolei until you get Kalailoa now is another district. They went through redistricting that went through 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, what committees are you hoping, if you're successful in your run, what committees are you eyeing to be on to be effective? I mean, there's many. Everyone arrived with something. What are you have any particular hopes or any specific committee you want to participate in, or a chair or subject?
I would love to be on labor and finance. Those are the two. Because I'm working at the Department of Human Resources Development for the last 3.5 years, I have had firsthand knowledge. I'm one of the only people that would actually bring that to that committee, that actually knows how the state government works. Mm-hmm. I know what does work and I know what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. I've seen good attention laws that just are impossible to implement because nobody sat there and thought it through. How do we make this work?
Now, being in this capacity of serving now in an employed position, can you take that and mold it and use it in addressing, as a legislator, the homelessness or the way we treat our mental ill patients or community?
I believe so, especially when you're dealing with what's happening over at the state hospitals, making sure that they are fully staffed and the labor committee, making sure that they have the adequate staff and the adequate training that they need, because we are sorely missing that one component, and that is talent management in this state. Mm-hmm. We have these wonderful people working for us, and I worked with them day in and day out, and they care so much about the state, our government employees, but we don't have the tools and the funding to make sure that we give them the management, the talent management that they need to make sure that they grow as employees, that they know their rights, they know how to make sure that they have all their that the employees have the skill sets that they need to make sure that they make them productive employees. And a happy employee is a productive employee.
I'm sorry, I distracted you there with that getting of didn't have. Anyway, we got a caller. We'll take a call.
Okay.
Caller, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. You have a question or comment?
Hello, fellas.
Yes.
I'd like you to speak in terms of what you've accomplished instead of your wish list against all the adversity in the Congress, and I'd like to know what you would particularly do without contacting the Lieutenant Governor, Carol Cox, Okalai Nui, the YNI Complementary Health Services, about being terroristically threatened by a man known to carry a gun, use ice, and deal pot. I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay, what I've accomplished in my as a community advocate, I advocated for the skateboard park that we now have in Kapolei. I have advocated for the rail project. I have advocated for the increase in the minimum wage. And some of the other parts that you were talking about in your question, I believe, are more of a city issue, more than a state issue. But as one of the other constituents that has contacted me from Kapolei about similar situations, is making sure that people are empowered to be able to fight for themselves, so that they know where to go if they have a problem with somebody who is dealing drugs in their community, that they know how to make sure that that our parks are for everybody and not just for the gangs.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have a population of people that are incarcerated local here, and you hear on TV that they can't get visitation. Today was closed. Yesterday was closed. I don't know the exact dates, but they can't get family visits. Is that a failure of the system, or is that an extended punishment, or is it just bad government? Because isn't it the idea is you are incarcerated, you still have a family, and that family needs it benefits the children to be able to visit you as well. Am I correct? And then what would you do? Is this something that you may find of concern? And what would you do?
Yeah, it is a concern. And it goes back to staffing issues. And it goes back to making sure that that we've trained our employees, our adult correction officers over at the state prisons, our prison mm-hmm. system, to making sure that they understand that their responsibilities and that it is important that our inmates have access to their families. That's why we are bringing them home from Arizona. Mm-hmm. That bringing them home from Arizona is a money issue as well. It's part making sure that they are, after they serve their time and they've paid their duty, their to society, that they are able to be integrated back into society and becoming productive members of society. And one of the things that they've shown time and time again is that they have to have access to the visitations to make sure that they know what that they know that there's life and there's a better life for them outside of the prison system. Recidivism rates with people that have access to their families and have regular visitations goes down immensely. Mm-hmm. And so it is a failure of the system on the government side to making sure that, again, we do have to spend a little bit more money to making sure that we have adequate staffing. Because that's the reason, that's the number one reason they cancel visitations, staffing issues.
Okay, on speaking of that and the types of crimes and all, you know, the rest of the world, for some reason, got an idea that it's better to just go ahead and legalize marijuana
mm-hmm.
and decriminalize a major portion, because a lot of the incarcerated people are actually caught with marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you coming from on that issue, and how are you going to approach it? And when I know there's people knocking at doors now saying, we need a change. How does Galoyu and District 42 representative, how are you going to react to that, and what are you going to do? You don't have to be specific, but I'm sure they're listening. In Coppoli, of all places, I've seen many of them, smoke blowing out of the window as they drive.
And I've smelt it while sign waving. And I do not by any stretch of the imagination, condone that at all. Driving while inhibited. And I say, look to Colorado. And it sort of gives me, that is my birth state. I was born at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been blessed and lucky to call Coppoli Makakilo for the last 33 years my home. That's where I was born. And you turn to my birth state and look what they've done there by legalizing.
Mm-hmm.
Their murder rate has dropped 60%. That is since, and I'm like, doesn't that not just that give you pause to go, wait a minute, they must be doing something right. And then someone goes, but two people have died from eating, overdosing on two people. You know how many people have died because of alcohol poisoning in this state in the same period?
You know how many people have died from eating brownies from diabetes?
There you go.
no marijuana.
With no marijuana in it. And so you look to
thousands.
And you look to that. You look to Colorado. Colorado has shown us the way. And people are like, well, how about we just grow it here and send it to Colorado? You then run into the whole issues of cross-state commerce and bringing the feds involved. And so, but if we were to legalize it like they did in Colorado, and we're talking a huge tourism, bump in tourism, we'd be able to help our overpopulation in our prisons, and the tax base alone should give everybody and anybody reason to look at this and relook at this issue and come at it from a responsible, educated, non-fear-based mm-hmm. Policy.
Now, I know you're appealing to the voters in this conversation there in your immediate area, but I'm sure they too understand that whomever they vote for and who is successful is going to be dealing with all of the issues
exactly.
that impact them, mm-hmm. not just a specific region.
Mm-hmm.
So that being the case, GMO,
mm-hmm.
where do you go? What's your position on GMO, and can you share some insight? Because these things will be presented to you as Mr. Galoyu, the state representative.
With GMO, I do not support labeling at the local level. Everything I've read and I've seen, we just can't afford it at the local level. All the testing and the requirements, it needs to be done at the national level, at the federal level. The impact of our pricing on food alone. Someone goes, well, then I don't know if I'm eating GMO. I go, if it doesn't say GMO free, you're probably eating GMO. And do you have a right to know what's in your food? Absolutely. You want to know what's in it? Ask the grower. And that's why I support, one of the things I'm supporting is, if elected, is one of the first things I want to do is grown local, eat local. Mm-hmm. And it will help our local farmers. It will help get a better get into better eating habits and save on the billions of dollars that we spend importing food into the state when we can when we have it grown locally. And that program would eliminate the GET on anything grown locally and consumed locally.
Now, when we say grow locally, but it seems like our current governor is growing cement buildings. So where again is District 42 representative going to stand on that? It's okay to say I'm for this and I'm for labeling, and labeling drives up the cost. That, in my mind, I want to ask the question is the cost artificial? Because is it because we're getting jacked up at the shipping and the importing of it because a gallon of milk on the mainland is $1 or $2. Over here, it's $5, $6, and $7. Mm-hmm. So when we say it's going to, just to put a label to tell me what I'm eating, maybe would you be given consideration to looking at and participating in an effort to reduce the cost of shipping, and not every time when Matson won a few bucks, an increase, then the legislative scene of it just... Go for it. Mm-hmm. Help yourself. And then we then hear later, we can't label things because it's the cost. What? How would you react to that? How are you going to work these two together? It's a conflict of sort. But
well, the cost for labeling is the way I've seen it and the way it's been presented to me by everybody is that you, to be able to consider yourself GMO-free, you have to be able to go in and you have to do the testing. And we have such limited resources when it comes to our ag department as it is now, that they, and when it comes to fighting invasive species, we've seen the coconut rhinoceros beetle coming in. We have the coqui frog. We need to be using those limited resources that we have fighting those invasive species and leave the labeling to the feds. But back to your shipping issue is that Matson does need to understand that they cannot hold us hostage here as a state, and they cannot just because we need to make a couple more bucks. Mm-hmm. We need to stop making it. They are a private company that's traded on the stock exchange, and they need to understand that we as an island-based community deserve the right to be able to live and survive. And one of the ways that we cut those ties is by, like I said, being more self-sufficient when it comes to our food that we need.
Now, you take, for example, there's a big chorus out there talking about the Jones Act.
Mm-hmm.
Does that dovetail, or how does one affect the other? Or will you see this as maybe the answer in revisiting the Jones Act and coming up with a change? You follow? Because we need competition, some say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd just like to get some insight from you. And I want the listeners out there and your constituents to hear that you're not, we can claim you're not a one-man band, a one song, you know.
Yeah.
But I want you to, for me, my interest is, what do you think about all of these things? Because it's important across the board.
Oh, yeah. I've looked at the Jones Act, and I'll admit that I don't understand it 100% completely, but what I see is that it does ensure that we don't, that when it comes to shipping, that we don't allow other outside nations from ship port to port,
mm-hmm.
and it protects American jobs. Mm-hmm. We could still have competition without doing away with the Jones Act, and because mm-hmm. by dealing with the Jones Act, you then allow outside countries that would pay somebody maybe a dollar an hour mm-hmm. to work those ships, and they then become, for lack of a better term, slave ships. Because mm-hmm. when you don't pay somebody an honest day's wage, you're treating them as an unequal, and it goes back to the income inequality.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the Jones Act protects us against that,
yeah.
and protects our harbors and protects our lifeline to the mainland when it comes to our.
But isn't it true now that even though we are opposed to the Jones Act and we've been foot-dragging on it because, these arguments have been advanced all along, because we'll end up getting money, getting products from sweatshops and places where they make a dollar and what have you. Isn't that what's happening anyway? I mean, the bulk of our food is coming from China and Taiwan, and you look at any fish packet. Okay, so it's still, you know, and the sweatshops that exist around the world that we're importing, it just didn't come in under the Jones Act. Are we really, is it by not approving it or revisiting this and changing that law, are we really, really fighting sweatshops and dollar an hour? Because Walmart is bulging at the sides. They're expanding.
Well, that's a falsity. Walmart is actually losing. They have had their worst three quarters in a row. They've actually lost money, where Costco has been growing. And Costco's the prime example is when you pay someone an honest day's wage for an honest day's work, that they turn around and then they put that money back into their community. And they know that they are a valued employee. Mm-hmm. The turnover at Walmart is because they're not valued. And they can see that I can go do the same job, mm-hmm. be treated as a human being by Costco versus Walmart. Well, it's going to pay me minimum wage, maybe a couple bucks more. Mm-hmm. And you cannot survive in this state, as we all know, on the minimum wage. Even at $10.10, that is not a living wage. Mm-hmm. And it's appalling. And that's another one of the reasons I'm running, is my opponent, Sharon Haar, actually fought against the raise of the minimum wage. She finally voted for it this year because she knew she was up for re-election. And people need and want to feel valued at their jobs. And when you're making $7.25, $7.55 an hour, you know it takes three different jobs to make it in this state. And so it all comes back. All the problems in our society come back from, right, as we see here, is not being valued as a person and not being valued. And that's why I support a living wage, not a minimum wage. And that would, what is it? The cost of your average Walmart is it's almost $1 million that they get in tax subsidies for their employees. Because we pay, when you don't pay an employee a living wage, the rest of us pay for it to help make sure that they get food on their table and Section 8 housing. So the high
and
cost.
Medical care.
And medical care.
And their children.
And food stamps. And when we donate to the Hawaii Food Bank to help make sure that these kids don't go hungry, that their children don't go hungry, and the employees don't go hungry because their employer does not pay them enough. Yeah. No full-time worker should have to rely on public assistance just to survive. Mm-hmm. And it's abhorrent to me as a member of this society that we allow that to happen. If we had kept minimum wage up with the cost of with the increase, we'd be almost at $18 an hour right now. And people say, well, you can't survive on that. Corporations can't pay that. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, they do that in other countries. Australia did that, kept it up. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They're the only country that did not succumb to the almost second Great Depression, mm-hmm. that we saw. And so we haven't seen this income inequality that we see now between the haves and the have-nots since the last Great Depression.
Let me ask you something. I mean, going back, and you've been quite active and worked on the same-sex and same-sex marriage issues. And I hate calling them issues, because mm-hmm. when someone say the boy got issues, that's a negative. No, it's the right to marry. Mm-hmm. Did you marry?
No, I did not.
So would this be one of the good examples to show that what you're saying is that you work at these issues, or you work for civil rights, not that they're going to benefit you personally? Can we go away with that conclusion, or would that be the accurate one? Or would you use this as a way of demonstrating that this is not, you're not selfishly motivated, that how hard you work? And I mean, I've watched you. Go to the Capitol, you're there at 5:30 in the morning, and then you're there in the evening at 5:30, and then at nighttime you're 11:30, and I'm going, this guy's part bat.
Yeah, absolutely. I did not get married, and I do not have a partner, and it wasn't about me. Fighting for marriage equality was never about me. It was about making sure that we have, that everybody's treated equally in this society. I go, that's why I fought for EC and ER, emergency contraception in the ER. It doesn't affect me personally, but it affects us as a society. And that it drives me. It's my rights, civil rights for all is what drives me. And making sure that everybody is treated equally.
Caller, good morning. Real quick, you have a comment or question?
Yeah, quick question regarding minimum wage. Should a high schooler or a college student working at McDonald's or other, or Burger King or other fast food places, be paid a minimum wage?
Everybody should be paid a living wage. Your average fast food worker, the average age of your fast food worker is 33. The fast food workers are not. It's not what it used to be when I was in high school. When it was the majority of us were teenagers, there were some that were just there to work for pocket money. These are people trying to raise families, and you cannot raise a family on $7.25 or $10.10 an hour. It's just unacceptable.
Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question for Mr. Galoyan? Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. You have a comment or question?
Oh, hi. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, your guest is very articulate, and I was wondering what he thinks of a state-owned bank. You know, North Dakota is the only state that has that, and you know what? They're another state that didn't really go through this terrible recession that we had, and I'm thinking you've got to have an alternative to private bankers, because private bankers are kind of banksters, I call them. You know, they don't have any a lot of interest in the broader community.
Real quick, so, we're coming down. Any thought on the?
On a state-owned bank, I'd have to look at that again. One of the reasons North Dakota didn't hit the depression like the rest of us is because they had the oil boom, and so. So that is something we could look at.
Yeah, it's been proposed a number of times in the legislature.
Okay. All right, thanks, Dave.
I think it would be a good way to have alternate financing, too, for folks that are at the bottom of, you know, of the scale, you know, for housing and the like, you know?
Well, okay. I would love to hear more from you if you want to reach me on Facebook, Vote Galoyu, Vote G-O-L-J-U-C-H, or you can reach me at votegaloyu@gmail.com or my personal cell, 358-4417, and I'd love to hear from you more on that issue.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, have a good one.
Caller, go ahead. You have a comment or question?
Wait for fast food workers. Would you be willing to go to McDonald's to pay for $5.50 for hamburger and fries rather than $1.50?
Well, Ed, your question came in chopped up.
Well, I think I got it. You know how much it would cost you more to pay these people, pay the good workers at these fast food joints a living wage? 25 cents more in it. I'm willing to pay that extra quarter to ensure that the person behind the counter doesn't have to work three different jobs. So they can spend time with their children, and then you see the ripple effect goes into the fact that they can spend time with their kids, make sure that they're doing their homework, and not rely solely on the public school teachers to make sure that their children are being educated. We cannot rely put the responsibility in educating our children just on the teachers. They see them less than 6 hours a day. If parents weren't working two, three different jobs, and were able to spend quality time with their children, it would help this society out immensely. We saw it when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s that our parents were able to spend the quality time with us. And now we have parents that see their kids, 30 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes at night because they're going to and from work. It's just unacceptable. And if we were, it makes sense, and we can afford it.
Thank you. Caller, go ahead. You have a comment or question?
Yes. I seen you on television sitting by Tasha Malama at Makakilo Elementary dealing with the Department of Interior. Do you have a special interest in Hawaiian recognition? I listen to you off there.
Okay, I was there because it was happening in my community. I was the only person running for office for this House district that actually showed up to that hearing because I wanted to hear what my community has to say when it comes to recognition. It's not my decision. It's not my kuleana, as it were. What I have said on the issue of when it comes to sovereignty is that the Hawaiian people need to come together and make their decision, and then we move forward with that. Asking me if what I support is what the Hawaiian people will ultimately support when they come together and make that decision for themselves.
Thank you, caller. Caller, you have a comment, a question?
Yes, I'd like to recommend that to resolve this unemployment issue, we change the way life works. The only requirement is the laborer to work 4 hours a day for full placement in society, leaving 4 hours for education, 4 hours for hobby, 4 hours for family, 8 hours of sleep. I demand it happen now. Thank you.
No, it has to be 7 hours for sleep and, well, no...
You figure it out from there, please.
6 hours, because you got to listen to the Carol Cox show occasionally.
Yeah.
So they have, you will have hobby time, you will have education time, you will have family time, you will have sleep time, you will have employment, and if you can put them all together in a row, good for you.
Well, sir, I want to point out to the other our greatest generation, they were paid a living wage, and our community and our society thrived when we valued our workers to make sure that they were treated fairly and equally, and so all I'm asking is that we treat everybody equally and we make sure our workers do not have to rely on public assistance. Because think how much we'd be able to cut down on the taxes if we weren't having to subsidize Walmart and McDonald's through our tax dollars for the Section 8 and the public assistance.
Well, imagine being paid for the work that you produced.
Mm-hmm.
So you can work in the sun for 10 hours picking cotton, and as we did in the old days. Mm-hmm. And only so much can be picked by the average person in an hour and in a day. So you'd always be in poverty. So this isn't something thrust upon us now,
mm-hmm.
with same and fair wages.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reality. The American system has to change and it has to adjust because the cost of living, the very people that are selling us a $9 hamburger with the package and a special meal, that's if you want it supersized. Who do we look to pay for the electricity at home? Who do we look to pay for the water? You understand? So there has to be an adjustment, and I hope that you as a representative stick to your guns or arrive there.
Oh, definitely. And I'm glad you brought up utilities, because if you look at my Sharon, she doesn't think people care about their utility bills.
Oh.
She doesn't support solar. She doesn't think that's an issue for our district. And most definitely, I believe it is. We need to look at our renewable energies, and we need to make sure that people understand that we have to be more self-sufficient.
Well, we're coming down to close of the hour, and we'll come back. And you okay with coming back in a couple of minutes, and then we'll conclude later. But this is the Carol Cox Show. We'll see you shortly. And caller, we'll take you on the next hour, so call back.
From the day I first met you, your promises proved to be untrue. So step by step, I've been a fool. Now I'm just 2 steps from the blue. The reason we didn't get along.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu. Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWA.
Something to play with. Go and find yourself a toy. Maybe my time is so expensive, girl, yeah. And I'm not just a little bitty baby boy. No, no. You know I will, honey, you know I will. Tell me like it is, yeah. Don't be ashamed, let your heart be
time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Hey, good morning again and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. My guest this morning is Michael Galoyo, Jr., and he is a candidate for District 42 State House Representative. And I have actually invited Ms. Sharon Haar, who is the current sitting or standing or whatever you call it. Currently, she's serving the District 42. We didn't get any response, and there is also Ms. Nicole Ferguson that is a candidate, and hopefully, upon hearing this, you'll be willing to come in or we'll offer you the equal time. So I haven't said all that, and please feel free. We're going to keep Michael here for another 30 minutes because there were some things I wanted to. I want to know his stance on the environment or if he thinks about the monkeys and the dolphins. And the, you know, we heard him talk about the beetle, but that was John, Paul, and John. And But anyway, welcome back, Mike.
Oh, I thank you. When it comes to the environment, yes, we have to be good stewards of the INA. We have the dump in my backyard, in our backyard. It's right there, and we need to understand.
You have two dumps in your backyard.
Oh, we have several dumps in our backyard.
Two Paula Lai.
Yes.
Right back in the water park.
Yes.
That's an old, owned by Grace Pacific, believe it or not, and it's still breathing gases and whatever. So you got two.
Well, we have two legal dumps in our backyard, and we have then all the illegal dumping that you've shown at Kalaeloa. And so we do definitely need to be better stewards of the land that we have, because as the land so goes the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is why one of the things I do support is the banning of plastic bags. And people are like, well, why does that really matter? I go, they float out into the ocean. Turtles see them, they think they're jellyfish, and they try to eat them,
mm-hmm.
and it kills them,
mm-hmm.
and it's unacceptable. We need to make sure that we look at recycling, reusing, reducing.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the things that why I was so disappointed when the plumbers union did not get their bid for to put in one of the energy plants down at Campbell Industrial Park,
mm-hmm.
and it was based on what they're doing out of Germany, where you could everything goes there. Everything that you would actually put in the dump goes to this place. In the ash that comes out is actually usable for making roads, building materials, and they can also then start to reclaim the dump. Could you imagine being able to pull all that opala out, burning it, having energy? They would be able to, if we're talking semi almost clean energy, because you're getting rid of the and reclaiming the land
And giving it to the developers to build a golf course and hotels and you know how the game.
Oh, I don't think
because it'll have make create jobs for the union.
But we definitely need to be better stewards.
I'm just joshing with you now.
To reclaim that, I don't know anybody would want to build a golf course in that.
That has been proposed.
Oh well.
Oh yeah, by the guys down below. But would love their eyes on that. But again, I just say that because politics is a strange thing anyway, and that's why I asked you early on. Do you need a good psychiatrist? I got one.
No, I think I know what I'm getting myself into. I've seen it up close and personal by being the ledge coordinator for the Department of Human Resources Development. Close and personal for the last 3.5 years. It's very interesting actually getting paid to work with the legislature than doing it volunteer for 10 years prior to that.
The Democratic Party, your role in that is as caucusing for what is it? I don't know the exact title.
I am chair of the GLBT caucus.
Okay.
Within the Democratic Party of Hawaii. I also sit on the State Central Committee for the Democratic Party of Hawaii. We are the ones that helped select brought the three names forward for the Governor Abercrombie to select Senator Schatz to replace the late Senator Inouye. So, again, all volunteer. Everything you see on all my community work on my resume is all volunteer. I've never gotten paid for anything that I do in my community, and I think making the community a better place is its own reward. From my time on the award-winning Sunset on the Plains, when we, back after 9/11, then Mayor Harris had started the Sunsets programs. And myself and Maida and Keith Timpson, a couple other community leaders came together, and we did that on what is now known as Kapolei Fairgrounds. I'm one of the people that helped name that. So I've been an integral part of my community, and we not only do we use that to help raise money for local businesses being able to come out and the crafters and being able to raise them to be able to make money there. We then turned around and turned the parking lot into a fundraiser for the high school, and we did that for several years, and then we saw that it had run its course, and we stopped because our economy had bounced back. And there were other issues that needed our attention. So,
I have one question, and maybe you can participate in or provide some kind of statement or comment. I've talked to many people, not in your district. This is something I guess I would sharing with you what others voters are saying, and a lot of them are church members or various church groups. They seem to be still yet at odds with anyone that participated in the same sex. Because I don't know all the reasons, but for me, I think it's when you're mixing church and state, you've already lost part of my interest anyway because I get concerned. But respecting that, what about issues that are going to impact church communities, let's say something come up? Can you assure them, or have you given thought to assure them that as a representative for them, what worries do they have? Or there's no hatchet to bury. It was just that you felt that you wanted to work on the gay, lesbian rights. So what assurances that you will represent that community, even though they're at odds with you?
That they can just look at my track record on the other issues that I believe matter to them, making sure our seniors are taken care of, making sure our roads are built, making sure our keiki are being educated, and making sure that everybody has access to medical. I believe these are all the other core issues. And when it comes to their religious beliefs, they don't need me. They have the First Amendment. The First Amendment protects them. There's nothing that there's no law that we can pass that would violate their right to practice their religion in the way they see fit.
Mm-hmm.
And just as it, but there's also no, and there's no reason that government should ever get involved and make and start dictating any laws based on one person's religious views.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you start heading down that road, who you think about all the people you start to alienate and marginalize and discriminate against, because we are the most religiously diverse state in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to make sure that there is that bright line between church and state to make sure that everybody's religious freedoms are protected, and so is everybody's civil rights.
So you would be an advocate if you felt that there was an infringement on the church community's rights. You would fight with just the same vigor, I would say.
Oh, absolutely. If they were being discriminated against by the government, that they were being forced to worship in a way that they did not see fit, I would definitely step up and say, no, that is not right, and I would fight for their right.
Now, one thing, changing subject here, in God we trust. The seniors out there, are, as I'm getting older, I'm realizing you're on a fixed income, because some retired at a certain level and they thought, okay, this is comfortable. And we're seeing the increase of property taxes and taxes and taxes. And I mean, if Casper the Friendly Ghost came here, he would get taxed, and we can't even see him. But what are you going to do, or have you given any thoughts, or will you lend yourself to changing that monster that's growing and impacting the senior citizens and our properties and taxes and savings and what have you?
Well, first off, I would not support taxing pensions for our seniors, unlike Sharon, who actually voted for that. She actually supported that and voted that, thought that was a great idea. And then we look at the GET needs to be relooked at. That is the most regressive taxing system in the nation. Because you buy something, the GET gets on it. You sell it to somebody else, there's a GET. You can actually end up paying the GET by the time you get the final product 5, 6, 10 different times. And that's just unacceptable. It just keeps on driving the cost up.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to relook at that, revamp that. My good friend Gary Hoosier, when he was running for lieutenant governor 4 years ago, had a very interesting plan about, and we just have to go bring it back to the basics and making sure that we understand how the tax system is working and how it's not working, and making sure that we, and I hate to bring it all back to the minimum wage issue, but if we did not require, if we there wasn't such a strain on our social services from the state, unemployment, like I said, Section 8, food stamps, those things, that we would be able to cut back on our taxing the public. And so, yeah, there you go.
Caller, good morning. You have a comment, a question?
I'm going to try to calm down a little bit and say this. I have 2 points. My first point is I have one vote. That vote is for me. How can you convince me voting for you is a vote for me? And then secondarily, would you expound on this? As a politician, I am here. I am not here to take a position. I am here to explain the issue and enforce the majority vote while protecting the minority at the same time. Would you please explain how these things will happen?
How I can earn your vote. I believe I've earned, hopefully I've earned your vote in my community service to the good people of Kapolei and Makakilu by the fact that I'd be accessible. I would show up at community meetings, that I understand that being a representative is more than a photo op and a floor speech, and that I would be available for you to be able to come into my office, or I'd come meet you and find out where you stand on issues. So I believe that my accessibility, first and foremost, I believe would give you, hopefully earned your vote and your trust. We're not always going to agree on everything, but to understand that we need to look at the greater good for everybody.
I don't know if he was speaking in the third person, or even if he's in your district, but nonetheless, it's a good question.
Yeah.
Caller, good morning. You have a comment, a question?
Yeah, I'm kind of a little bit confused. He says he hasn't really studied on the Jones Act. It seems like he's kind of in favor of it, which in
What's your question? That way we can get past the confusion. Got a question for him specifically, and then we can.
Yeah, how can you be for the Jones Act, and then you want to saddle
small businesses and other businesses with raising the minimum wage, and people are going to have to be laid off, but yet you have the shippers creating the most expensive place to live. They're contributing as well as our government is. And, you know, you can't have it both ways.
Well, sir, when it comes to every study has shown, and we've seen it across whenever we've raised the minimum wage, we have not had these, we have not had this deluge of people being laid off because of the increase to the minimum wage. It just hasn't happened. When you put more money into the average worker's pocket, guess what they do? They go out and they spend it. When you put more money into the pockets of the Walton family, the owners of Walmart, what do? They stick it in their savings. They stick it in offshore accounts. So but when you raise the minimum wage, there's more money out there. There's more equity and there's more accessibility and people live better. And that's what happens when you see the minimum wage go up. We don't see the jobs going away, and people being laid off.
What is the ideal minimum wage that you're thinking to raise it to?
The ideal like I've said before, I believe in a living wage. Right now, all economists say it's about $15 an hour, and to think that we can't afford that. Look at Australia. Australia's minimum wage is $17.25. And like I said before, they are the only country on this planet that did not get hit during the last recession. And we can't afford it. It's just a matter of fact.
The small businesses, you're saying they can afford it. I'm not talking just Walmart. I'm talking everybody across the board. And if $15 an hour is good, why not 20? If 25 is good, hey, let's go to 30. What would happen? Prices of things would go up. And then we have the Jones Act in effect. I mean, you're killing us. And, you know, have you seen how much it is to register a car, sir? This is insanity. Electrical for the houses?
And that's why
we're moving.
That's why I support solar, sir. That's why I support photovoltaic to lower your lower our utility costs. And like I said, you hit a living wage. And people, then your tax rates go down because people are not relying on all the different social services. And then, so there's a balancing act for the businesses that they're paying less and you have to bring in less taxes to cover your base. And so everything across every study and everything's shown that we can't afford this. It's just making the decisions that benefit us all as a society. Like I said, the last time we saw this income inequality, it's such a disparity between the have and the have-nots, was before the Great Depression. And I don't think we want that.
Caller, if I could, have you asked these same questions of Harp? Because you had the greater opportunity for many years to ask these same questions. And if so, what has been her response?
No, I haven't. I haven't heard her on the radio. And
I'm always
right.
I'm always curious when someone poses questions such as that and phrase them that way. I tend to ask, well, gee, this is how we keep the new guys out, because we dare not challenge or hold the old guys accountable and hold their feet to the fire. And so when the new guy shows up, and I understand the process of query, but I just wanted to know, curious, have you had a bona fide discussion equal to this? And if not, and if you are a constituent of hers, ask her to come on the Carol Cox Show, or at least return our damn emails or something, or acknowledge we exist.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Last statement. Minimum wage, it's an entry-level position. It's not to live on. It's entry-level.
And, sir, and like I said before, no full-time worker should have to rely on social services just to get by.
Oh, well, and then that on Hawaii state government.
And he's trying. Uh-oh, he got you.
Hawaii state government? What was that?
Blame that on the state government with all the high taxes. People got to work 2-3 jobs just to pay that. And I don't make minimum wage,
right,
but I'm struggling. My family's struggling.
And
gas in the car, the tax on gasoline, the nation.
Mm-hmm. And
we pay for the roads to get they're not fixed. It's like a third world country.
And,
so,
and you have, and you can,
we're,
and you,
we're gonna, yeah.
you can thank Sharon Haar for that when it comes to the roads, because she,
you know,
because
I,
she
I,
has failed,
sure.
to, she has failed us when it comes to OMPO. She doesn't show up to the meetings. She doesn't advocate for our roads. We are not getting the infrastructure that we deserve. And when you look at the income inequality again, when we build this community, we build our society from the bottom up, not from the top down. And what we've been seeing is the hollowing out of the middle class, and it is destroying all of us. It's making it worse for your average, the 98% of us. It's making it harder on the rest of us. And so that is one of the reasons I desperately support a living wage, because it raises the quality of life for everybody.
So basically you're saying, take from the business owner, because in this mindset you have is that they're rich and they have the money to, a mom and pop store has the money to pay somebody $15 an hour. If they have three employees, they're going to fire two of them and pay the one. It's just common sense. I mean, you can quote studies and this, but I'm sorry, with the Jones Act, the highest cost of living in the nation, that's not solving the problem.
It actually
that's just making it worse for the business people
Hold on. I'm a little confused. With the Jones Act, what do you mean with it? It doesn't exist.
I mean, without it. I'm sorry, without it.
Jones Act. See, it sounds like we got too much personal. I'm a little concerned. This isn't just a question, you know, from our constituent. I'm hearing something more. So go ahead, though. What really is the motive? Are you just a citizen?
I am a constituent.
Okay, okay.
And I saw him waving the other day. But listen, The point is, you got to step back and take a look. You can't say, I'm going to raise the minimum wage. Of course, people who are, hey, he's for voting the minimum wage. I'm gonna vote for him. But there's more to it than just doing that. Well, I mean, it affects business owners. Like I said, the taxes across the board, the shipping, the cost to ship a container here from the mainland is insane.
And I agree with you when it comes to the shipping costs, because we've allowed Mattson and the Young Brothers just when every time that they want an increase, they get it. And they need to understand, we need to, and you can put that back on the elected officials and those that make those decisions. And I can promise you, as if I earn your vote, that I will make sure that we at the legislature start to do a better job of managing your money, managing your, and make, bringing down the, hopefully bringing down the cost of living. And when we've seen throughout history, when you increase the minimum wage, we all do better. And when we can cut down those taxes that are such a burden for all of us.
Okay. Caller, thank you. We're going to try to get
thank
a couple
you.
More calls. Thank you again for tuning in. Aloha. Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Yes, this is Marie from Montecito.
Can you turn your radio? Hold on. Can you turn your radio down, please?
Yes, move away from it. Yes, sir.
We're getting.
I will.
Thank you.
I want to know what business owner is on welfare, because this last caller has a real hard on for those for the people who are making it, and not the little guy who isn't making it. He said he's really struggling. Then he probably isn't making minimum wage. So anyone who isn't making minimum wage can't understand the plight.
Why, thank you, caller. That is, it's quite obvious that when he made the statement saying that a small business owner would have to fire three of their employees, if they had three employees, they'd fire two if we raised the minimum wage. What we see is that they actually have people have more money to spend, therefore they are able to go out and support the small business owners.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
All right, aloha. Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Yes. Can I ask you, what issues do you agree with Sharon Haar? I assume that the Jones Act, Sharon Haar supports that, but I'm not sure. But what kind of issues that you and Haar agrees on? I'll listen.
Hold on. What issues that Sharon Haar and I actually agree on? I don't know. She doesn't. we are at odds. I believe in solar. She doesn't. I believe that we need to be better stewards in making sure bringing our water prices down, and that doesn't seem to be an issue for her. She didn't support the minimum wage until this year, so I guess we sort of agree on that issue. There's a lot that I don't. She said that I'm at a loss for things that we actually agree on. Because when it comes to the core values, she has sat there by when it comes to education and allowed them to build 3 libraries without adding any more staff. And so we all end up suffering because our public libraries, ours have to be cut so the staff can cover it. With the current staff, that they have to spread out for those extra 3 libraries.
Right. Now, you know, I really appreciate the caller early before the last caller there in asking about the Jones Act. I like that because the conversation that I witness, not just with you, is so disjointed because it is the guys that's been there for so long dragging their asses and doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The new guy comes along and he's being asked, okay, what magic buttons are you going to push? And it's like, wait, is there any validity to the earlier questions? Because if you recognize... Clearly, you've put lots of thought and had lots of pain and suffering from the early activities. Why such demand on the new arrivee? I understand you don't want to add to the pile.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something that's in the air that says this whole process about the Jones Act, people are talking about it. But I have a little weariness from it because it's something that the Republicans support. Right. That scares me right there because this is the same group of people that Barack Obama woke up this one morning and says, oh, I'm Barack Obama. And they go, get rid of him. You know, I mean, with a person like me who look like Obama, think like Obama, feel like Obama, and is proud that he's there and they're attacking that. So what does that have to do with the Jones Act? I can't tell you, but I get a little concerned. But here, when we look at the minimum wage issue and the livable wage, if you're making minimum wage, they take out some monies.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't make the full, you don't take home the full hour that you're making. And you got to pay a gallon of gas. How are you going to get in the upkeep of the car? Well, let's say if you buy a bus ticket, how much is a bus pass for... That could be $65 or what have you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, no one should be debating should we adjust the salaries or the payment for the work that we're demanding of these people because just the cost of living.
Mm-hmm.
And our legislators, this is where I think good management and a little pull on your coattail is that hopefully you don't join in with the fray if you... and join in with the team if you are elected, because it's just chaos there. They know we shouldn't have to debate this issue of equal pay or adequate pay or livable pay when we look at this economy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say half of them are drunk at the wheel as legislators. Are you going to arrive there in a sober fashion, and are you going to behave in a sober fashion? Are you, you know, what assurances that... You're not going to be DWI, driving while ignorant.
Well, the fact that I have people like you that I know that I've known for many years.
Don't watch you.
That will keep me grounded. And the one thing it's been abhorrent to me is somebody gets elected, they put rep in front of their names, and they think they're untouchable. And that's not absolutely untrue. You should be we're servants of the people. We should be accessible, we should be ready to answer their questions, and we should be available.
Mm-hmm.
And my Sharon has been none of those in the last 8 years. She has made sure that she doesn't show up to community meetings. She shows up for the photo op and she leaves. She shows up for the floor speech and then she leaves. She has been MIA when it comes to our community and coming to the needs of our community. And just by my grassroots work within the community will show that I am going to be accessible. If you don't like what you're doing, you don't like what I'm seeing, you see me at Costco, stop me, talk to me. When see me at Long's, pull me over, let me know what you think.
Then are you running against Sharon Haar? Are you running to get in office to change the ways? Because, see, Sharon Haar is only doing what that party is allowing.
Yeah.
And see... That is the real concern that why I took an interest in inviting you and them as well, because See, if Sharon Haar behaves, show up no votes, chair a committee and don't participate, that really speaks more of the party as a failure and the willingness to not serve the people. It really doesn't speak specific to Sharon. I mean, Sharon has her own responsibilities, mm-hmm. and it speaks to her integrity for allowing herself to operate that way. But that suggests to me that you're going to join a party that tolerates the Sharon Haars. So listening to the listeners out there, what would you say to them? What assurances that you will not join into the party and the finger popping and
I've never been one to go along to get along. Okay. In the last, you see that time and time again. I don't say what I think people want to hear. I say what I believe in, and if I'm wrong, talk to me. Show me how I'm wrong. Give me the facts. Give me the science. Don't give me fear-mongering. I cannot stomach that. You give me science. You give me facts. And I love science and I love facts.
So what you're saying, you're not running scared.
I'm not running scared. I'm not running to be part of Team Suki. I'm not running to be part of Team Say. I'm running to be part of Team Hawaii, to move the state forward, to be better. We could be a better state if we all got together. We all came together and did what was better for everybody, not just those in power, not just those that put money into our campaign funds. If you go look at my finances, you'll see that I am 98% locally funded. My money is coming from the grassroots. I am a grassroots campaign, and you have issues, you want to be able to get a hold of me, I'm available. Mm-hmm. I've made sure I'm available through social media. Sharon does not. Nicole has some presence, but nothing really. I will be there. I will be able to answer your questions. If I don't have the answers, I will find them or at least point you in the right direction. So that is what differentiates me from my opponents, is that I'm there, I know the issues, I've grown up with the issues, I don't have to read about them in a history book, and I don't have to have a staffer write about them. I know them.
I got one question, and we'll bring it to a close and let you have the last. What, any insight on homelessness, and what, in your opinion, do you think it's a problem for the homeless, or do you think it's a problem for the state, or I know you as a representative, it would be state concerns at that level, what you can do to address it. But what would you do, and what's your perspective of the overall issue?
The overall issue is that the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. We need to bring all the service providers, state, nonprofits, everybody, the city and county, all into one room and figure what's going out. We are spending millions of dollars of taxpayer money and your listeners' money when they donate to nonprofits to help with this issue, and why is it not getting any better? And find out where the gaps are in the needs of the services, because there are some drains on the on the services issues. I've talked to some providers, and it's just we don't seem to understand. Nobody seems to know what's going on, and it requires talking, it requires listening, and going out there and finding out what we can do to make sure, because nobody should be eking out an existence on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. That is unacceptable in one of the richest countries in this country, the richest country on this planet. That is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. That we can do better, and we have the working poor. We're talking people those people that are living out there in the tents and the sidewalks. They work. Some of them are working full-time jobs. They just can't afford the first and last. They can't afford. How many people out there are one paycheck away from being homeless is unacceptable. Again, bringing it all back to the income inequality. And I'm sorry if it sounds like that's been my mantra, but it's part of it's one of the major issues and one of the major problems with us is that we have the resources. We just need to make sure how we get them out to the people that need them and where they need them. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm hoping that the others, and Nicole Ferguson and Moses and all, don't complain if they hear this. The invitation is here.
Mm-hmm.
524-1080 is the number to call the station. My cell is 782-6627. But if you're calling to beat me up, just stand in line. There's a long list, so put on there, I want to appear on the show, and then I'll get back to you real quick. But I am screening my call. But so that's what we need to do, and hopefully they respond, because I like Kapolei, and Kapolei is a growing city, and also there's some issues we haven't talked about. Drinking water. Mm-hmm. We're taxing our water resources substantially. There's an issue with desalination. Hold on 1 second. Caller, go ahead. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, I got a question for your guest. What does he think about term limits for the legislature people? Because I know he mentioned he's from Colorado. I know they, I believe they have term limits for their representatives that are in the state legislature. What is his feeling? And then second question, does he support the general excise tax extension for the rail project for the Honolulu Rapid Transit?
Okay, when it comes to term limits, I do support term limits because we've seen that absolute power corrupts. Mm-hmm. People that get into office, they are good public servants. They start off, some of them start off as really good public servants, and then they just get entrenched. And if there were term limits, that might help with the situation. I was just born in Colorado. I left when I was two. My father was in the Air Force, so. I just used Colorado as an example earlier when it came to the marijuana issue.
Yeah.
And then with the extension of the GET to cover the rail, I'd be willing to look at it, see where we're at. Again, another issue where Har was wrong then and she's wrong now is that she supported the 10%, the state keeping 10% of the rail tax to cover the costs of administering that tax. And anybody who has a basic grasp of algebra could see that they only needed less than 1%, which was what I was advocating for the state to keep to cover those administrative costs. By keeping 10%, the good people of the island of Oahu are now paying for the entire budget for the Department of Taxation. So she was wrong then, she's wrong now, and when it comes to extending it, we'd have to look at it. And I am an advocate for rail. We definitely need more than one way in and out of the west side. For those of you that remember Black Tuesday, when the Army truck crippled H-1,
right.
It's, and the good people of the West Side don't deserve to spend 2-3 hours in traffic each way.
You mean the White Tuesday?
Oh, the White Tuesday.
Why every damn thing has to be that's bad is black this, well, black that.
Black Friday. Black Friday, that's good.
I know.
The minute I said it, I knew you were going to get me.
You didn't think I would.
You let that go. No, I did not.
Just for the value of humor. Come on.
I to change that.
Yeah, but so, yeah, like I said, we have to. I'm not going to make any campaign promises that I cannot keep, and so I cannot say one way or the other how I would vote on that until understanding the full issue, making sure we look at the finances, and maybe looking at the state giving back hundreds of millions of dollars to the rail project.
It's a good thing that Kurt Caldwell was not the governor at that time. Can you of Black Friday? Can you imagine the number of tickets he would have issued for urination? We would have a surplus still yet today.
Carol. You're killing me. Love it. Thank you. Thank you, caller.
But anyway, no, I'm serious. The Caldwell will be right there with his meter maids and all that. Yeah, peeing on the side of the road. Yeah, but yes. Mr. Governor, Mr. Mayor, you didn't build the thing high enough so the military truck could go through it. That's why, and then you would come along and say, that's why we need rail.
That's why we need rail. We need rail. And
but no, that rail is. So speaking of rail, now you become state representative. Can you work with Duke Iona? Can you work with Mufi Hanneman?
I've worked with Mufi on the rail project, and mm-hmm. It's shown that I'm not a one issue person, and I can work with people across things. I worked with people on the rail issue that did not support me on the same sex marriage issue.
I was going to mention Neil, but they say he won't win, so I didn't want to burden you with. I got you.
Oh, good Lord. Oh yes, I can.
That was me. I attribute those comments to me.
Those comments are solely thoughts of Carol Cox. I can work with anybody who's willing to use logic and reason and come at it from a rational aspect. yes, I can work with them. If you're willing to leave logic and reason at the door, we're going to have a problem,
mm-hmm.
because we cannot, as a society or as a legislature, move forward in any way productive manner when we don't base everything on facts and reason.
So that those that are sitting there listening, looking for something, I want to be clear.
The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Or Michael Galoya.
Unless I say them.
But anyway, so this political thing is it's an interesting. There's more callers. Let's
okay.
see. Caller, go ahead. You have a comment or question?
Yes, I'd like to suggest that any and every gay issue is a sexual harassment. It talks about a sexual performance. I don't believe it belongs in the public. It's politically incorrect. And if it's not, you tell me what gay is. When you celebrate it, discuss it, and promote it. Thank you.
Well, wow. Okay. Well, thank you, caller. Actually, the federal courts have said it in the last 32 decisions that we've had out of on the federal courts on this issue when it comes to marriage equality, that marriage equality is a constitutional issue, and banning marriage equality is unconstitutional. We've had 32 decisions since the Windsor v. U.S. decision just a year ago. So it's not me saying it; it's the federal courts, and I'm not just.
But also the people.
The people.
And
the
not just the courts. The people voted, and it was here. The legislators voted.
They gave
if you don't like it, then re-vote them out. That's all you got to do.
If you don't like it, don't marry somebody of the same sex. Because it does not, in fact, it does not impact your life on a daily basis or any time.
If it does, you want nosy booger.
There you go.
Because
people are willing. People I've been talking to in the district are ready to move on and talk about the other core issues and not these wedge issues.
Yeah.
So.
Caller, go ahead. You have a comment or question?
Thank you very much for my call. I have one question.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Do you think logic, reason, facts, objectivity drove the reason for steel wheel on steel rail transportation, or were there other alternatives?
Well, there were other alternatives. What drove the steel on steel for the rail project was the federal government, when the federal government's restrictions and requirements to get the $1.15 billion that paid for 25% of the rail project. I believe that is one of the main reasons that drove that. And when we can go back and re-debate the whole rail issue. Rail's with us, rail's moving along, and we need to make sure that we do everything in our power that it's built right, that there's oversight, and that we make sure that that we take advantage of this wonderful opportunity. Because just so everybody knows, for every dollar that's spent on that rail project, it means six more dollars is kept in this community.
This is not a wonderful opportunity. You had magnetic levitation, monorail, Philia system, rubber on concrete as alternatives. From the beginning, Nestor Garcia and the community killed those alternatives. Mookie Hanneman needed money for campaign. And he goes, where's the state with their 10% on the 0.5%? Rail is the worst thing that has happened to this state.
I'm sorry you feel that way, caller, but the fact is that it's here, and the federal government helped drive the steel on steel when you looked at the requirements to get their federal tax dollars to help pay for this project.
Who were the experts that came here, the four experts that came here?
Sir, I do not know that off the top of my head. Again, to use this as to re-debate the rail issue, it's here. We need to make sure that we take advantage of this, that we do not allow it to become a boondoggle.
Our money.
Yes, it is. It's all of our money. And it's creating opportunities with the TOD, which is the transit-oriented development that will happen along the rail stations, and help revitalize some of those different communities out there and bring new and more needed development and keeping country by building along the urban corridor. which was the progressive thing to do in the 70s, and I believe we're just fulfilling that promise today.
Well, that sounds, he's gone, but that sounds, for me, and you know, I'm a straight shooter, that's the, they tried to advance it, they did, and that's all BS, because first of all, while they were doing that, keep the country, they build the hell out of, what's the play that they were authorized to be built in the ag fields out there that the train runs right by?
Ho'opili. Well, that's part of the urban corridor.
Well, no, I know, but you know, and one of the things what I would share with you, my concerns with when I hear politicians say, is that the federal government, you know, we stood a chance to make some money because the federal government. Then maybe just as a jackass of a commentator, well, then we really don't. What I'm hearing repeatedly from many of the legislators and city councils and even the neighborhood board people, because of the federal monies and if we rely on the federal government, well, then maybe we don't need one form of government, and that's just the feds, because it seems like they toss out the money and the cheese. All of our representatives who have hands-on management that can have a greater effect have deferring to the federal cheese. Mm-hmm. And it's like when it comes to marijuana, when it comes to, you mentioned, labeling of a GMO, the federal government. The federal government isn't in the business of doing these things. That's why we defer to good-looking folk like you, smart, that's going to come in with new thought, new, not, oh, the federal cheese truck is coming to the neighborhood on Friday. Remember the you know.
Make sure you say the right things so you get your money.
Exactly. So remember that when someone gives you money, as I say many times, it's like giving when the federal government gives you money, it's like giving medicine to your pet dog. You get one of those little snossages and you put it, fill it, and you feed it to him. And he thinks he's getting snossages, but in reality, he's getting a pill, and it's a birth control pill. Well, anyway,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, you actually do bring something up. Just so everybody knows that I was offered money from a PAC, and I had to turn it down because I don't believe in what that PAC stands for. I'm not going to say what PAC, but... The caller was actually shocked. He goes, "Do you want to think about it?" I go, "No. When this race is over, I still got to look at myself in the mirror, and I got to live with myself. And accepting money from you would go against my better judgment and what I believe in. And you're not going to be able to buy my vote. That I will stand by the people. I'll stand by what's right for the good people of Kapolei and the good people of Makakilo and the good people of the state of Hawaii. Because as goes Kapolei, as goes the state of Hawaii. And so we are the economic engine that it helps drive the state forward. And so that's one of the reasons I'm running, is to help move the state forward, mm-hmm. and not just my community, and making sure that everybody has the infrastructure that we need out in our community, and also look for making sure that the good people of Lanai and Maui and the Big Island are all treated equally and fairly, so that they have a voice and hold everybody accountable.
Anything in closing? We're down to the last minutes, and I'm going to try and read, because that region area, that area, Eva Beach and all, is really dynamic. I mean, you got Cavania, you got Tom Berg, who's running against her, and I'm going to.
Is he back?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Calvin Say ran the show, the ship in State House, right? Neil Abercrombie became the governor. And, I mean, yeah, there's place for people like Tom. There's place for all of us. Because in a democracy, if you don't like me, you don't have to vote for me.
Exactly.
See? That's where we start and stop. But as far as back, I mean, Mufi Hanneman is back, and you supported the rail. I mean, PRP use all those tactics to slur. I mean, we have to demonstrate that if we, you know. But that's that. I'm so glad you came and talked, because I Kapolei, for me, it's a new city, and it's growing, and the people out there, and all the issues, same issues, and maybe later on in coming weeks we can talk about desalination and the taxing of the water system, because mm-hmm. while they got all of those landfills and dotted and spotted, and they also have injection wells mm-hmm. where they pump waste down into the ground, and these injection wells are pretty much the same level of depth as the source, the aquifer for the drinking water that would have been extracted. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
So if you make it into that's something I would love to approach your office and say these are the environmental impacts and the desalination and taxing, because Coalina had strict conditions on the type of water and the volume of water, but seem they're expanding and nobody's asking the questions.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. Real quickly, anything in closing?
Just understand that I am accessible, and in that vein of being accessible, I'm inviting all your listeners, everybody out there, to August 2nd at Kapolei Regional Park from 3 to 5. I'm having a community meet and greet. We're going to have my Auntie Maida's making her famous chili. You can reach me on Facebook, on my website. My website is votegoloyu.blogspot.com. Facebook is Vote Goloyu. Twitter, Vote Goloyu. You can, my telephone number is 358-4417. But come out and visit with me on August 2nd. We'll be there from 3 to 5. Like I said, we'll have a bouncy house for the kids. Auntie Maida's making her chili and rice. We'll have hot dogs. We even have door prizes, a round of golf for two. Valued $800. It was donated by one of my supporters. And you can come and talk to me face-to-face and realize that you can get to know me if you don't already know me. And in most cases, that's one of the best things about this campaign is being able to reconnect with my neighbors. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm the only one that's lived in this district. I'm the only one that has grown up with these issues. And I'm the only one that's helped them face them head-on. And I've done it all as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. And so I'm willing to put myself out there, and hopefully your callers will come in and your listeners will come out and meet with me.
Caller, we got 1 minute. Go ahead real quick.
1 minute?
Yeah. Now we've got 45 seconds.
One statement that I'd never want to hear is that we would tax our water supply. As long as we are surrounded by the Pacific Ocean, we will never run out of a source for pure water. And that
drinking
water can be treated to be pure. Many countries use salt water.
Oh, okay. From the coal levels. Okay. All righty. And that's desal efforts. Thank you, Carl. Anyway, that's about it, and thank you for joining me. Now, I'm going to invite, again, I don't know why, but they say about being crazy when you do the same thing, get the same result. I'm going to send Sharon Haar another email asking her, and Ferguson, and hopefully you'll be willing to participate, call in.
Of course.
Thank you for recognizing and acknowledging that the Carol Cox Show is an existing entity and deserves some kind of week or something. Because I was getting to feel a little bad. When you get the cold shoulder from Sharon Haar.
Oh, well, the entire community knows how you feel with that one.
But, I'm not saying that to make her look bad. It's just reality. Mm-hmm. Each contact I've had with her office is like, I'm Sharon Haar. I'm a state representative. I'm a lawyer. And I'm saying, I'm Carol Cox, and I complain a lot.
Yeah. And see, that's another difference, is that she wants to be a lawyer. The other, Nicole, wants to be a doctoral student at UH. Mm-hmm. I want to be your representative.
Okay.
And that's a huge difference between the three of us.
So, Mr. Galoyu, Michael Galoyu, Jr., so thank you. He's running for District 42, State House Representative. Thank you for joining me.
No, thank you. And thank your callers.
All righty. And in closing, we will talk about the Kamehameha Schools dump, and hopefully Monday or so they allow some filming to show the cleaning up, and they're acknowledging taking responsibility. And there's a letter from the State Health Department confirming what I had already reported to you in KGMB and what have you. So, but again, we'll post that letter up at carolcox.com, and so feel free to go there. And we're going to be talking next week in Haleiwa. There's a bathroom that burned up out there in Kaiaka State Park or City Park now. And I'm told $900,000 was allocated, but the mayor decided, per the information we received, and we got to check that again, that was told that they will not spend the total $900,000 that was allocated, but they would spend a portion of that to repair it. But it's not ADA, and right now, if you're in a wheelchair and ADA needs, you have to use a porta potty. So, right on for Kirk Caldwell. If you can't, when you gotta go, you gotta go. So, but he'll tax you if you gotta go. So we'll talk to you later. See you next week. Aloha.
Let's get it started in here.
running, running, and 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 running, running, and
in this context, there's no disrespect. So when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect from all intellect and let the rhythm affect. Lose the inhibition, follow your intuition, free your inner soul and break away from tradition. Cause when we be out, well it's full of heat out. You wouldn't believe how we wow shit out. Turn it till it's burned out, turn it till it's burned out.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.